Just take a look on page 94, the left side in the middle. Receive Sheshes Yamin. Kaseev Sheshes Yamin Tocha Matzos of Yom HaShviya Seres L'Hashem. The Torah writes, for 6 days you shall eat matzos, and on the seventh day is Atzeres for Hashem. Atzeres is like an ingathering, you know, to be held for Hashem. Dehine Isa, it is written, and I believe this is from the Zohar, Matzah Michla Da'asvasa. Matzah is the food of healing. Now the Zohar also calls matzah Michla De'mehemnusa, which means the food of Emunah. Mm-hmm. And right now he's focusing on the Michla Da'asvasa, which is the food of healing. Refuah. In the Kol Makom, on any account, Nikra Lechem Oni. It is also called the bread of Oni, which is a lashon of oppression or affliction, poverty. So it seems to be a stira, seems to be a contradiction. It's a refuah, but it also has to do with oppression. Shahu HaRefuah, so he says that the approach is that it is the refuah. It is a healing, Shabo'o al yidei yisurei hagalus, that comes by means of the hardship and yisurim of exile, u'milchama im hasitra achra, and the ongoing battle with the powers of Ra, b'chinas naguf v'rafu. This is the concept of naguf v'rafu. Naguf means that it's like the lashon of magefa, a plague, to be smitten. And Rafu means to be healed. So this is the concept, he says, of being healed through battle and through the duration of the hardship of Golus. That actually brings about a refuah.
So through the hardship you are healed.
Yes. It's those challenges that we have to endure. And it's also called, and this is written in Menis form, Naguf L'Mitzrayim V'Rafu L'Yisroel. The Makos in Mitzrayim, they smote the Egyptians, each one. And at the same time, they were a refuah for Yisroel. So the Pritzadik writes a lot about this, how each particular one. Choshech too. Choshech also was considered, you mean because they died there?
Yeah.
Right. Now, that there are two ways with that. One is that the people who died there, that was the refuah. Reply Yisroel.
The Jews who died during the Choshech.
Right. And also, those neshamas were not lost. Mm-hmm. It's not like they didn't leave Mitzrayim and therefore they were lost. They had to die there, but their neshamas did not leave Klal Yisroel. Now, later on in history, they got recycled back in.
Could a neshama ever leave?
No.
Jewish neshama?
No.
No matter what you do.
Right. You can't leave it. It can become very distant, but there can always be retreat.
Once you die, it's recycle back
through a Gilgal or some type of processing.
Is it affected say you really a horrible life and totally un-Jewish, does your body affect your neshama so that when you die it needs some kind of purification on its way back up and its way before it comes down into somebody else?
It could. Yeah. Right, so what happens when your neshama goes when it has a deen in Shemayim, so it may have a judgment to go through some type of spiritual process. It could be Gehenna, it could be something else. Mm-hmm. Or it could be sent back here to Arat Olam Hazeh, or it could be both, depending on what the neshama needs. And the parts that have been completed, that have had tikkun, they don't come back anymore. They stay in the Olam HaNeshamos, which is a place for neshamas up in heaven. And it stays there until Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the neshama is actually comprised of many different parts.
Right.
So some of the parts could have tikkun and they don't have to come back. The other parts that need tikkun, they do need to come back. And when they come back, those parts of neshama that have had tikkun through somebody else, that person and the previous person, they share those parts of the neshama. Because we do share neshamas, parts of neshama. The unique configuration of parts that you have is unique to you. You're the only individual that has all those parts.
Collection. Right. I have parts that other people
right.
So what's the concept of being cut off from your from Yisrael? For instance, if you know eat chametz on Pesach.
Chares, right. So this it's a, some type of you know spiritual suffering.
But it's not a perpetual
right
cut off from your neshama still is part of Klal Yisrael.
Right. It could be that that person now has a very difficult time to attach themselves to it and make its tikkun. But there is teshuva even for Kares, this one my Talmud Torah. So, you know, if it's her, about, would you just come on together? Just ask her to call back at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Her to call back exactly at 1 and I'll be able to help her out. So the Nevesh HaChaim is the Chaim Leshner, he writes that Talmud Torah, you know, intensive Talmud Torah is the teshuva for Kares.
What happened? How did some Jews die from Choshech?
Apparently they were not worthy, even at all.
So Choshech was a kind of a filter.
Yeah.
Somehow.
That's right. And they didn't have to be embarrassed by the burying their dead because the Mitzrayim were immobilized and couldn't see.
Mm. Okay.
So. That's okay.
Interesting.
Thank you.
That's right.
Now, also this thing with
which other it's mutter, right?
Yeah. Whatever it is,
whatever it's mutter.
Now, this concept of a naguf l'mitzrayim v'ruach l'yisrael, each of the makos, then the way it dismantled the culture of Mitzrayim, each one dismantled a certain part of that culture, and it built a part of Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So darkness, for example, some say that the darkness was really an intense and an immense revelation. So for the Egyptians, it was so much light that for them it was dark. It's like if you look
blinding
at the sun, blinding light.
Mm-hmm.
And B'nai Yisrael were able to receive it. For them, it was a revelation. So the same thing, the exact same thing with the refuah for one and Nogah for Yisrael. And the same process occurs for us then, that through we have within us a certain Mitzrayim. We go through the hardship of Golus, it takes care of the negative aspects there, gives them tikkun, and it heals us in the corresponding positive parts.
What if Golus isn't so difficult for you?
Well,
or what if you don't perceive that, it as being
well,
difficult
that's
for
that's
you?
That's the thing in and of itself, right? It's right now, what great people say about our Golus is that it is so dark that we don't even know how dark it is. That's what they say. We don't even realize what we're living in.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. The Ken Pirish Bezoar Kodesh, Matzah Miloshen Masah Umariva. The Zohar also says that the word Matzah is from the Loshen of Masah Umariva, which means conflict. So Matzah and Masah are related in that respect. Through conflict, there is the Tikkun. Vihine Kisiv, Acha Shanasu Miyamsu, Vayomarim Shamala Tishma. It's written after they journeyed from the Yamsuf and Hashem said to them through Moshe, if you shall listen to the mitzvahs, Kol ha-machol asher samtim b'mitzrayim, all of the sickness that I placed upon Egypt, lo asim alecha, I will not place on you, ki ani Hashem rofecha, because I am Hashem, your healer. V'yadua ha-kushya, he says the question is well known. Okay, what's the question? What is the well-known question that he is... I'm sorry, Bob, are you going to say something?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I think he's saying that if he's not putting the sickness on us, why? What's the healing?
What's the healing? Right.
Is that what you were thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
I think that's what it means. Avonira hapirish shayihiya refuasam mekoach haTorah. Says it appears that the refuah is through the power of Torah. Ani Hashem, shaTorah shemosav shalakadosh baruch hu. Because when it says, Ani Hashem Rofecha, I am Hashem, your healer, Ani Hashem is referring to the Torah. Because the entire Torah is Shemos of Hashem. Right? Each letter in the Torah is somehow a name of Hashem. says, in that respect, through the power of Torah, the refua does not have to be through the previously mentioned route of hardship and then healing. It's above that. It's just straight healing, straight refua. And this, so that's how he answers the question. He says, I will not bring any of the sickness of Mitzrayim upon you, because you won't be sick. You won't have to go through hardship, but you will still receive the tikkun through Ani Hashem Rofecha, through the Torah.
I was going to ask that. I said, it seems like always, you know, the refua and the hardship, I mean, you can never get ahead.
Right.
In this case.
So here we see you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise you're just breaking even.
Yeah. And also, Minisan, maybe this is, you know, answering a question from a different perspective. Page 94, John. The if you don't feel hardship, you know, there are ways to do have refua spiritually without hardship. It's through the Koach HaTorah is just present, giving one that refua. Umatzasi b'shem shagam the sefer kol simcha says, I have found also in the sefer kol simcha, which is from Reb Simcha Bonim of Shetzla, Kasav Sham Kedivorim Ha'ila, that he wrote also similar to this. Vizu HaBechina Hischila Bishas Hashira. This realm of refua, not related to hardship and sickness, he says that began at the time when they sang the song of the Red Sea. Because they already left Mitzrayim. They were finished. And they sang that song. That was a type of refua. Zesha Kasuv Az Yashir, that's what it means, Az Yashir. Then they sang. What is the pshat in then? What does Az mean? Achar Ibud Kol HaMitzrim, after the destruction of Mitzrayim. And they no longer had to worry about the hardship of the Egyptians, because the Egyptians were now dead. There was no more Mitzrayim anymore. The shir that they sang, that song at the Yom, was the type of refua that was unrelated to hardship. It was a new realm.
How is it unrelated to hardship? I mean,
it's
a product of the hardship that they went through.
Right. I think this is what he means. Everything previous to it, Mitzrayim was still there. Every makkah, Mitzrayim was still there, and it wasn't so easy to get out, and they kept changing their mind, you can't get out. And even at the Yam Suf, Paro still chased after them. So that is the battle with Mitzrayim when they're around. This is the first time, even though, like you said, they were, you know, finished in it, and they felt that exhilaration from being redeemed, but this is the first time when there was no more Mitzrayim. So that signals the beginning of the process of refuah without the hardship of Mitzrayim presence, existentially.
So you might say that the refuah for the Mitzrayim chasing them was actually crossing. And then once Mitzrayim was gone, there's no makkah that corresponds to the shir.
Right.
The shir kind of comes, is a refuah directly after refuah with no kind of...
there's no makkah
in between.
Right.
Okay.
It's like geula. It's like redemption.
Okay.
It's quite an interesting thought. Dichsiv Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu Es Bnei Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. As it's written, Hashem saved Bnei Yisrael on that day from the hand of Egypt. Pirish, Sheyatsu Mikol Bechina Harishona Shehoya Ayidei Nagu Farafu Kanal. That they emerged from that first realm of growth, which is hardship and then refuah, hardship and refuah. They emerged from that whole dimension and entered into a new type of growth. V'yitachen lirmoz b'zeh ha-pasuk al-kol yimei ha-masa v'shabbos, as we know this Vaisemis is prone to do. He wants to relate this to the 6 days of the week and Shabbos. Kisheshes yimei ha-masa hu b'b'chinas mochama. The 6 days of the week, that is the conflict, the days of struggle. It's similar to being in Mitzrayim and struggling with them present. Zeshakasiv tochal matzos. That's what it says, you shall eat for 6 days, referring to the struggle with Mitzrayim as their present. Uvayom hashvi, even on the 7th day, which he says is a remes to Shabbos, even though it's referring to the Pesach, the last day of Pesach, but it's a remes to Shabbos. Yom Menucha, that is the day of Menucha, of rejuvenation. umiskalabo heoris haTorah, where the light of Torah is truly revealed without the contrast of magefa and refuah. It's just revealed unto itself. Behu gam ken yom hashira, and Shabbos is also called the day of song. Dichsiv tov lehodos l'Hashem, as it's written, it's good to give praise to Hashem. V'kisiv yom hashvi mishabach v'yomir, and we say in Shachris, in Birchos Kriyashma in the morning, the seventh day itself praises Hashem. Shabbos, not just the Jewish people, but Shabbos praises Hashem. So that's the new level of refuah, which is unrelated to hardship and growth, hardship and growth. It surpasses that, and it concentrates fully on refuah and growth.
You know, I was thinking while you were talking about in Havdalah, after Shabbos is over, we look at the contrast between light and dark, so we need the dark to see the light, but when we light candles at the beginning of Shabbos, it's just light.
Very nice.
So at the end of Shabbos, we really realize there's darkness and light that we have to deal with for the next 6 days.
Nice.
But when Shabbos comes in, it's only light.
It's beautiful.
It refers to that.
Very beautiful. Beautiful thought. Okay. That's nice. That's a new concept, new idea. Right. Okay, let's take a look at another one.
Okay, shut off the tape, that's enough.
Let's take a look at page 90. It's a complementary mimer. It's a similar theme, but it kind of broadens the idea and applies it in a practical way to say it. Interesting. Page 90, it's the third paragraph. Hillo, hayakorech pesach matzo umara. And so we know that we say this right before we eat korech. We say that Hillel wrapped the Pesach and Matzah and Morah together, and he ate them all together. That's what we call Korach. My father says every year it's a Seder that it was not the Earl of Sandwich who created the first sandwich, it was really Hillel. I had to say that.
That's right.
Every year, I was just waiting for the Korach. Okay. Lehodiah, to make known, Kimirirus HaGolus, the bitterness of Golus, Eino dover nifrad. It is not something apart. And that, I'm not sure that Eino dover nifrad v'shahaya shinui ratzam b'shas ha-gehula. He said, we mustn't look at Golus as like a change of heart for Hashem. Like now he wants to put us through hardship, and now it's something else. Now it's time for redemption. He says, don't think that these are two separate matters in Hashem's mind, so to speak. They're both directed toward the same goal. It's a different process, but don't think that there's truly been a change as far as the goal. That's what he says, Eino dover nifrat. Don't think that it's an isolated thing, Golus. The Shehoya Shinui, and that there was a change, Ratzon, in God's will at the time of the Geula. Don't think that God changed his will now. Ach kol ha-seder shenohaga kodesh boruchu, the entire order of things that God guided us with. Imanu ha-kol derech echad, it is all one guiding principle toward one goal. That goal never changes. It's our relationship and closeness to Hashem. Kamosho Kasuv, as it's written, Memi Sumachaya, He brings death, he brings life. Umatzmiach Yeshua, and brings forth Yeshua. Through Misa and through Chaim, both through life and through death, the goal is the same, it's Yeshua. The redemption of the Jewish people. The same goal. Memis u'mechaya are followed by u'matzmiach Yeshua. We don't just say melech memis u'mechaya. And the word matzmiach Yeshua, that phrase, is not just going on mechaya. Mm-hmm. It's going on memis u'mechaya. It's both of them. Yeshua.
It's like in
what?
Matzmiach, yeah. To cause to grow.
It's like in the Gemara in Brachot where it says you shouldn't just praise Hashem for the good, you should praise Him for the bad as well, because good, if you're just praising God for the good, then you're not praising God. You're praising some other God, because our God brings
us
good.
As if He didn't have a hand in the other.
Right.
Moror, humavis. So moror, the bitter herb that we eat on Pesach, humavis is an aspect of death, because it represents, you know, the bitter taste, the hardship, the suffering. And that's all, you know, part of the concept of Misa. Like, for example, on Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban says, when we pray for L'chaim v'lo l'maves, he says, Chaim is anything that has to do with bracha. It's life-oriented. Not just life itself, but life-oriented. Maves means anything to do, death-oriented, chas v'shalom, sickness, hardship, suffering. That's all in the category of Mavis.
But the shot of this line is that the gematria is the same.
Is it? Tuf, Mem, Vav. You're right. Same gematria.
That's what he means.
Yeah, he's got the little chitriks on top there. That's what Joss pointed out. The same gematria there, Murr and Mavis. Hmm. They both equal 446. Okay. Ki begolus chashuvim kemesim, because in golus we are considered like we're dead. Nice thought. Aval hu letzorech chiyus chadash, but it is only for the overall purpose of gaining new life. B'lihiyos Yeshua ledoros, and for there to be an ongoing redemption forever. Again, nothing changed from Hashem's perspective. Sometimes we have to gain closeness and Yeshua through hardship, and sometimes through, like we saw in the previous mimer, through pure growth. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we must eat morer on Pesach. Shanachnu ata begolus, because we are living in golus now. V'yecholin ba'achilas morer, the mate kamerirus b'layla zu. This is a fascinating thought. He says, through the consumption of morer on this night, we are able to sweeten and mitigate the bitterness of our exile. But by tasting it, it's not that we increase it, but by tasting it, we actually, by acknowledging it, we actually sweeten it. Sweeten it in the sense of our lives. We can lessen the hardship of the bitter exile through the eating of morer.
Could it be, you know, like... Like I mentioned before, when I said, we don't feel like we have a difficult gullus, right? Maybe through realizing that there is bitterness in our gullus, we liberate ourselves from it to some extent. And that's what the moral is supposed to do? To
like,
make us realize that we are living
we are.
In a bitter gullus, right. Whether we know it or not.
It's almost like mitzvah. You know there's something wrong.
And the acknowledgement of it there is part of the refuel itself.
Yeah. Psychologically speaking, you have to acknowledge that you've got
a
problem
right,
or something before you can actually be liberated.
It's a therapist's choice.
Make you realize.
V'lachem bola mora lo yotza. Therefore, the halacha is if a person takes a piece of mora, kazayas of mora, swallows it, we're not yotze. If you swallow matzah, you are yotze. If you swallow mora, you're not, because kita'am mora nirgash ata b'yoser meha matzah. So, I'm sorry, that's a separate thing. So if you swallow morer, you're not yotze. You didn't eat it and to taste the bitterness. Kitam morer nirgish ata biyoser mehamatzah. He says, now in our state, the taste of morer is more dominant than the taste of matzah. Matzah referring more to redemption, and morer referring to golus. But the moror that we partake in actually becomes sweetened when we partake in it. B'lachem bal hagoda somech achar moror zeh b'cholder v'dor chai v'adam luris es atzmo k'ilu yatzam Mitzrayim. Therefore, the author of the Haggadah, after we say, as we're into Magid, well into Magid, we say matzah zeh, moror zeh, this matzah that we eat, this moror that we eat, we say that in the Haggadah. Mm-hmm. So right after we say moror zeh, this moror, it's followed by the phrase in the Haggadah, in each generation, everybody is obligated to see themselves as if they left Mitzrayim. Because it's right now we're tasting the bitterness, that's when we talk about, we have to know that we're leaving Mitzrayim too. We're in it and we're leaving it. That's why it's connected to Moror. Shezeh kavanas hamorata, because that is the kavana of Moror now, to experience Golus and then to be redeemed through it. U'kemosha yesh lismach ge'ula li tefila, just as we are somech ge'ula, redemption to tefila and davening, we also, he says, do, I think he means by this, either he means the moror to the matzah. Mm-hmm. No. Well, he means the tasting of moror, and then you say, after the tasting of moror, we are obligated to see as if we left Mitzrayim right now. So that taste leads to ge'ula.
So while you're saying this, you've got the taste in your mouth still.
Right. L'chein ata b'zman ge'ula tzrichim lehispalel atzor asenu. Is therefore in the time of redemption,
yeah.
Not sure what he means by that. Which redemption is he referring to? Atab is man geula tzrichim lihispal al tzarasein. Maybe he means the surrounding atmosphere of Pesach at this time of geula. I think he means Pesach. Atah now must be referring to now Pesach. At the time of redemption, we must be mispalo for our tzoris, meaning to get rid of him. Ken yagienu l'maladim u'regalim, as we say in the Haggadah itself, it's just as Hashem brought us out from previous difficulties, so He will bring us to new special times and Yom Tovim and holidays. Samechim b'minyan yircha. Enjoy over the building of your city. So, this merirus of moror, when we acknowledge it, when we eat it, and we experience galus, that actually lessens the hardship of galus, and the next step away from that is geula. That leads to redemption itself.
So this is sort of a proof of the idea that even if we move back to land, we're still, in a sense, in Galus.
We're still in Galus, sure, until the Shia.
Because, everyone is still in Mara, even in Jerusalem.
Right. Yeah, the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash is Galus for people in Eretz Yisrael and for people out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's still, of course, a distinction because you have Kedushas HaOretz. No matter when you live, you have the mitzvahs, Noagos, Boris, Truma, Meiser, and all these things, and the special atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael. That doesn't disappear. There's still Kedusha Soharetz, but it's also in Golus. Eshikola. Very nice.